I'm not going to describe what Roger's doing right now. I don't think you want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's very disturbing.
My hands were on top of the desk.
Well, I couldn't see that. There's a computer in my way.
Okay. And the show has begun.
Yes, indeed. My name is Jeremy Lawrence.
I'm Roger.
And I'm Michael.
And we're all here to play Password.
Yes. Okay. Ta-da. I was just getting into I was grooving.
Which you do just about every time music comes on around here. So
I like music.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's one area where we can agree. Not many of them do we agree on, but it is an area we can agree on. Of course, it's still cold outside.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Just in case you were wondering.
Okay.
See, now you're in short sleeves, so you wouldn't know.
Right.
You know, I saw, I think as we were leaving last night, I saw you were putting on, it looked like it was sort of a light jacket to walk out into the cold. I think, wow. You know, I'm here bundled up in a scarf and 14 layers or whatever it is I'm putting on. And,
see, I've got fat.
Yeah. He's got natural heat.
Hey, you stay out of this.
Okay.
He can get away with that because he's the boss. I don't have to take it from you, Michael.
Okay.
So maybe he was just referring to the hot air that tends to come out every now and again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, he's digging you out of that.
Thanks, Jeremy.
I'm trying very hard. At least that way you don't abandon us for the cupcakes in the
bathroom.
Yeah, and who did you find out about the cupcakes from?
Abby.
Well, but who told Abby?
I don't know. You?
Uh-huh. I try to take care of producers.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Apparently you don't try to take care of bosses either. I didn't find out until he did. So
you didn't know there were cupcakes?
No, I didn't.
Oh, boy.
Which is fine. I don't need any, but, you know.
I assumed management was fully aware of all the accessories in the building.
Apparently not in this case.
Not in this case, although I did know about the pie yesterday, so I didn't know if you were aware of that.
I was, but there's no silverware. What do you do with a pie when you don't have knives and forks?
Oh, they have plastic silverware back there, actually.
No?
I didn't see any. Just take it with your hands and eat the whole thing.
I guess
I was afraid people had been doing that, and that's why I didn't go there.
So I tell you what, I mean, it's still pretty cold, 2 degrees, but we find out a little later on in the program, Bob Larson will get with us and tell us that relief is coming.
Yes.
So we look forward to that. I've actually heard some interesting things about this weekend.
I have, too.
In terms of temperature, so we'll have to confirm with him, see what the latest is on that.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a warm-up on the way.
I'm looking forward to it if it's there, but you know what? I want to hear from Bob.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's always in the know. Whether or not I like what he has to say, at least I know I can trust him.
Yes.
Unlike other people in this room, but, you know.
Our disagreement yesterday continued on.
Yes, it did, actually. We had some discussions via email and Facebook.
So
we'll try and keep it to the confines of the show because I think, you know, people would have enjoyed that back and forth afterwards.
Yes.
Anyway, we got other things we're doing. You know what? The powers that be have given me a stack. You hear that?
Ooh.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. These are movie tickets.
And we're going to give them away?
Well, not all of them today.
Oh, okay.
But we are going to give some of them away.
Some of them away.
Yes.
Are we giving away a particular movie?
Yes, actually. A little bit later on in the program, I will be giving away 4 tickets to go see Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones.
Ooh.
So that's the latest in the series. It's a sequel number 27 or whatever it is.
You know anything about that movie, Michael?
Oh, I haven't seen any of them.
Oh.
See, I know Paranormal Activity, I think beyond, what, they had the 5th one on Netflix, I think and I didn't see it on Netflix, I saw that it was there on Netflix. So there's a difference there.
Yeah, I've seen stuff on Netflix that I wouldn't watch.
Is that stuff even real, the Paranormal Activities?
I don't know. honestly, I don't know a lot about this particular movie series, but I can say this. People that do know something about it and have watched it are rabid fans and love it and will want to see this one without a doubt. And we have tickets.
Four of them.
So if you want to go see it for free and be a hero to all of your friends, we got them. And that just means that we have to, a little bit later on in the show, put up with some dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia from Michael.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's cooking up something even now. I'm not even sure what it is.
I've already come up with two questions.
Oh, he's got two questions. Gosh, well, don't share them right now.
No, I won't.
That'll give us something to hoot on him about.
There we go. Yes. we haven't blamed him for anything lately. So.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't had anything go wrong. That's it.
Yeah.
He's available should we need him.
Of course.
Everything's been working just fine.
Things went okay yesterday.
Yeah.
So,
we didn't need to blame anybody.
Yeah, but he's right there for us. And I appreciate that. So,
are we giving away four individuals? Are we giving away a four pack? Or are we giving away two twos?
Why would we give away two twos? How many dancers do we have?
I personally look good in it. Well, mine is a. Mine is a 4-4, but...
The management of WKZO would like to apologize for the previous mental picture that was just given to you.
Yeah, geez, no more mental pictures, please. I had enough with the stripper poles that one day.
Oh, and the stripper name that we've all hopefully forgotten.
I haven't. Tico Wenton.
Tico Winton.
Winton, that's it.
Yep.
There, I can blame Michael for that one. You weren't supposed to bring it up.
It was still on my mind, and I don't know why.
A lot of people tell me that.
Which explains the mental picture of people that people now have of Roger in a 2-2, or 4-4, as the case may be.
Yes.
But one thing we wanted to get on pretty quickly here is a story that comes out of the Washington Times today. And this is not the first story that has talked about this. Many states have looked at when they talk about secession. We're not talking about all those petitions that went before the White House for Texas and Louisiana and Tennessee and all the other states that said they wanted to secede. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about with this is states splitting up into separate states. There's been stories that have come out of Colorado recently. A group of counties there want to split off into North Colorado. And they've actually voted on that. That, I think, was an unofficial, non-binding vote, but it was something that was on the ballot at one point. Of course, there's been talk in the state of Michigan, not terribly recently, but talk about the UP forming its own state.
Mm-hmm. Becoming the state of Superior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've heard about that.
Because they are, you know, just so much better than us, apparently, in the Lower Peninsula. But
they're the Upers.
Duh.
No, Superior, I know it's a reference to the lake.
Yeah.
But that's been talked about. And, of course, there's been a group in California. They've talked about splitting off several counties to form the new state of Jefferson, which would be the northern part of the state. Plus, I think they were trying to get a couple of counties to swing over from Oregon to join them.
Yeah.
But this, interestingly enough, is a plan that's come up, and it's got some credibility. Because they've got a venture capitalist behind it, Tim Draper. He's has a lot of history in the Silicon Valley and that kind of thing.
That gives them money.
It does.
I don't know about credibility, but it gives them money.
Money does kind of buy credibility to a certain degree.
Okay.
Not totally.
On that, we can agree.
But before, this was a movement that didn't have a lot of weight in gold, if you will, behind it. But now it does. And so he is filing paperwork for a ballot measure that would divide California into six states. He says in this particular measure that he'd like to see, he's calling the Golden State too big and bloated. So he would break up California into the following states. You would have Jefferson in the north. Then you would have North California. You'd have Silicon Valley. West California, South California, and the other part here I'm not seeing the name for, so I'm having to look for that. Not seeing it, but there is a sixth section. It's like Central California, that kind of...
Oh, the valley? Like
It's sort of the eastern, mid-eastern side of California, I guess, if you will. But he's talking about breaking this up so that it can be better governed. And when you think about California and you think about the kind of history that they've had, by and large, they do have conservatives that live there. Silicon Valley is one definite area where they are. Northern California, there are some there as well. But
Orange County.
Orange County, certainly. But by and large, they've been represented by Democrats in the Senate and a democratically controlled state legislature. And they don't feel like they're getting enough of a voice in local government and in state government. So I can understand the thought behind it. Plus, it's a huge state.
I don't remember what the motivation was for creating the state of Superior, other than I think mm-hmm. people in the UP think they get taken for granted.
And that could be.
And I think that was a part of it. But all these other talk of dividing states mm-hmm. up mm-hmm. come from a conservative perspective. Why do you think that is? Why are not liberals thinking, we could make a better state if we didn't have this part of the state as a part of our state? Why is it that it's the conservatives that seem the most interested when theoretically better representation should be a nonpartisan issue?
Well, it should be good for all of us, really.
Yeah. Why do you think there is the level of interest is coming from the conservative side of the political spectrum?
I'll give you two answers because I think that's kind of two questions there. Why are the conservatives interested and why are liberals not? Because
okay.
I think there's two answers there. And if I can kind of above the fray a little bit look at this, I think the idea for conservatives is that for a lot of them, particularly California, you see a lot of different things going on there with money. I mean, they're constantly in trouble with money. They've spent too much, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like that they've not necessarily gotten their ability to have a voice in that to say, you know what, we don't want you to spend the money. Here's why we don't want you to spend the money. And I think the other part of it is if you think about all the statewide offices, particularly in California, you look at this. And Colorado, I think, is a totally different issue if we look at that. But in California, statewide offices, the last Republican they had in there, they got simply because the guy they had in there was so inept, they had a recall effort that I think spanned party. And plus, when you got a name like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the ballot, it you got people going, oh, cool, Arnold is governor. That would be fun. I don't think Republicans feel like they've got a true voice in statewide elections in that particular state. That said, now the other side of the equation, I think liberals don't look at that and say, well, if we just jettisoned these guys over here, we'd be a little more pure. We'd have a more purified state and more this, that, and the other. I think they look at it simply from the standpoint of money because they wouldn't have the money from that area coming in to fund all the stuff they want to do. That's my view of it, I think. And like I said, Colorado's a whole nother issue on the subject.
Yeah, well, that's really driven by guns.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a one-issue thing there, definitely.
Yeah, California, there's more background to it. It isn't a one-issue thing.
Now, I'll tell you, with the state of Michigan, and it hasn't been brought up for a while, but the idea of splitting off the UP into its own state, I'm kind of a nerd about it a little bit. I'd love to know a little bit more, and I don't have that background. If somebody's listening and has that,
yeah,
I'd love to hear about it. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. And feel free to call in as well if you feel like maybe that's a good idea for the UP to kind of have their own little state up there and that kind of thing. Maybe that's something you have in mind that you think it's a good idea. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, look at the state of Wyoming, with a population of about the size of Grand Rapids,
mm-hmm.
has one representative and two senators.
Mm-hmm.
The UP would have a fair amount of representation in the Senate, at least, with
two senators. Yeah, one representative, still creating another small state. And I don't know my politics as well up there, but I have a feeling it probably would be a red state if you looked at it that way. I'm assuming they're pretty conservative up there in some areas.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems to me, well, that's where State Senator Casperson is from.
Okay.
And he's about as right wing as they go.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps you're right. Maybe it would be a red state. I don't know.
I'll have to study that a little bit more, see what the last presidential election, the last governor's election, what that looks like in terms of who voted for who and that kind of thing.
Well if we get that, somebody who knows about that statewide, the bid to make the UP a new state, maybe certainly they would have an idea of certainly what would result.
Okay. Well, tell you what, why don't we talk to Bob here. Bob's on the line in Kalamazoo. Bob, welcome. Glad you're with
us. Hi, guys. You know, I haven't bought into the secession fantasy much because there's a reason why you haven't seen a new state since Alaska and Hawaii, 50-plus years. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why you haven't seen any new subdivisions of states, of any state that's become part of the Union in 200-and-some years. It's because there's a high, high hurdle that you have to meet. I mean, a lot of this, I think a lot of this is driven by exclusion. People who want to exclude people that they don't believe should be appropriately part of the state. And so they make it very difficult. Almost every state constitution has a provision that requires the state legislature. You can't just have a citizen's vote and, okay, we're going to, like in Colorado, even in the counties that passed the secession vote, doesn't mean that they can secede. You still have to have the state legislature's approval.
Right, and that was a non-binding issue anyway when that was on the ballot. So.
And then the big thing becomes, are these seceding counties or some new seceding states, are they going to even be part of the United States of America? Because you need to have Congress's approval to become part of the Union. It's a difficult task. Puerto Rico's been trying to do it for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I say it's driven by exclusion, you've got to know, you put this in the hands of Congress and they're going to be saying, hey, well, we'd love Silicon Valley. You know, we'd love all the tax proceeds that are going to be generated by that. But, you know, who wants Oakland?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to accept that as a state. And so, I mean, if this played out the way these people are saying, that's what would happen. And you know, I know there's one guy from Silicon Valley who's pumped some money into this, but there's a reason why the Koch brothers haven't, and why GM, Ford, and the huge companies haven't. They know. It's a pipe dream. I don't think it could ever happen. But anyway, I'm sorry to bore you guys.
No, not at all. Why do you think it is just at this point, it's conservatives who are bringing this idea forward?
Well, I hate to say it, but it's the exclusion thing.
Oh,
we don't
okay.
want poor. We don't want poor people. We don't want our state. If we can get rid of poor people, if we can say, no, Oakland's not going to be part of California, but just Orange County and Silicon Valley and the dope dealers up in northern California were making all the money, then, you know, you get rid of the poor and in some cases the minorities. I think that's what's driving this. Maybe I'm wrong and people will call in and say I'm full of it, but I think that's what's driving this whole thing.
Thanks okay. for sharing your thoughts.
Thanks, all right.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Bye.
I hadn't thought about it. By the maybe it is exclusion. Maybe the people of color live in that part of the state, and we don't want to have that be a part of our state.
It's possible. I don't know that it's terribly likely, but I don't know where people live and what part of the state and all of that sort of thing. So I can't necessarily say that with any education behind it. That's more just a guess on my part.
But exclusion isn't an idea that clicked with you. That doesn't seem like a possibility.
It's always a possibility. I just don't think it's as big a possibility as some people might think it would be.
Okay.
So we're going to continue the discussion. We'll be with you here shortly. So I tell you what, keep it right where you got it. And the show continues on. Just to let you know, we are going to continue the state secession discussion here in just a little bit and take your phone calls. So hopefully you will stay with us. Phone number 382-4280, 877-382-4280. And you can be a part of the general discussion that we will be having here. You mentioned Queen yesterday. I'm playing a little bit of that, you know.
I like the drumming.
You are the drummer.
Uh-huh. That was in a previous life. I've moved on.
I have to ask you one of these days what it was like to work alongside Freddie Mercury.
Yes,
you
know? Yeah. Yes.
But
well, that's where I started wearing shorts. Is.
So yes. Anyway, the show, we're here with you, Jeremy Lawrence, along with
Raj Taylor.
And, of course, Michael, the Wonder Producer, who we are going to take a timeout for traffic with.
Just got a tip from a listener. The hill on Drake Row by KL Avenue is at a complete standstill. He described it as a sheet of ice. Four-wheel drive vehicles can get up it okay, but front-wheel drive cars have no chance getting up that hill.
Okay.
So if Drake Road is on your way home,
please avoid it if you have a front-wheel drive vehicle.
Well, if you really wanted to get home.
Yeah, otherwise you're just going to come right back down and probably crash into the car behind you.
If you wanted to meet new people, then perhaps Drake Road Hill would be the place to go.
I wouldn't go that way home because of the fact my car wouldn't get up that hill.
So there you go. Okay. And it's probably a mess in terms of because people are trying it and accidents and backups and all that wonderful stuff.
Well,
so,
and
so
once,
there's other ways.
Once you get enough people trying it, they spin their tires, warm it just enough to freeze again, and they start making a bad situation worse. Mm-hmm. Even the roads where they're flat and level are really slippery because we've packed down the snow and it's just becoming ice out there.
And sadly, in this weather, the salt
doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It just kind of sits there. So,
yeah.
You know, it might give you a little traction, but not much.
Sand. That's what they're doing for the most part, throwing sand.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're hoping Bob is going to tell us that there's a warm-up on the way.
Big warm-up.
We're hoping here, so we'll hear from him here in a little bit. But this secession thing, it's interesting to see. And, you know, Bob, not Bob Larson, but our caller from earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Mentioned how no states had seceded from another state. And that's actually technically not true. If you look at what happened with West Virginia, they split off from Virginia around the time of the Civil War. A lot of that had to do with slavery. That was a one-issue thing. So it does happen. But I don't know. It's tough for me to believe that in the case of Colorado, with North Colorado and all that stuff, that there will be enough of an upheaval over the issue of guns to be able to create a whole separate state out of that. I'm not sure I see that happening.
I'm thinking that it would have to be there has to be more to it. Mm-hmm. Than just guns. You can't just appeal to gun people and use that as a way of starting a new state. There has to be more to it.
I don't know. We'll have to look into it. Tell you what, though, we got Bob Larson on the line right now. Bob, we've been waiting ever so patiently because, you know, we're freezing, and we'd like to find out if it's going to get warm or not as we look ahead towards the weekend. So could you fill us in?
I'll bring you up to speed here, Jeremy.
All right.
Make us feel good.
Okay, Roger. It'd be really bad if after all this I would say, and you know what? It'll be getting even colder, but I'm not going to say that. It is going to be turning warmer. I guess the big question is how much warmer? You kind of figure it's only got one way to go at this point after reaching 12 below zero last night and 11 below zero early this morning, which incidentally, that 12 below zero, that's the lowest temperature we've recorded since 2009. So it has been 5 years since it has been that cold. And it's just looking at that one number, when you factor in what the afternoon temperature was yesterday afternoon, I mean, you probably had to go back even farther. I'd have to research that further. But the absolute value of that 12 below zero has not been that low since 2009. So where do we go from here? We go up, and temperatures will hold steady tonight at or just below zero. It might even rise a little bit. And then we climb into the upper teens tomorrow, climb into the upper 20s on Thursday. So it's not happening all at once, but we are going to be taking baby steps in the days ahead. And what if I were to tell you that it looks like it's going to rain Friday night and Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yuck.
It's going to cause a pretty icky situation.
Yeah, it's going to melt a lot of this stuff, and it's probably going to lead to some fog because you bring water in and on the top of the cold snow-covered ground, and that makes it fog over. So it's not going to be a pretty sight. I think people would be relieved to hear that we're talking about liquid precipitation by the end of the weekend into the start of the weekend, with no sign of any other Arctic blast to follow for at least the next several days. This is early January. We know that the potential for additional Arctic blast farther down the road is very high, but at least it's not going to be happening this weekend or early next week.
Okay. See, now, Roger, I thought that, you would be on board with that, Mr. Shorts and T-shirts over there.
No. it's if it can't become spring, then I would rather it stay winter. Not this winterish, but I would rather have it stay winter than go right from this to rain.
Yeah,
yeah, that's ugly.
Okay, so Bob, hit us with a word.
The word is corner, and hear me out on this. The corner that we're about to reach. We've reached the corner, and now we're about to turn the corner on this Arctic deep freeze and sea temperatures rebound here over the next few days. We're turning the corner.
Okay.
As a reach, I know.
Well, you tried.
You tried. We'll give you an A for effort.
I hear you. Now, when I say it's going to rain, I don't mean to imply we're going up to 65 and it's going to rain and there's going to be a big flood. I think we get up to about 40 and it'll be mild enough for rain. How much rain? Probably not a tremendous amount, but maybe a half inch or less.
Okay.
And then it does get chilly after that goes by, but it's not going to get, you know, severely cold as it is now. Roger, I think we'll have the wintry type weather that you're looking for good part of next week, pretty much average.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
The average is workable.
Yeah. Now, average is awfully cold. January, on average, is the coldest month of the year. So merely being average is still awfully cold. It's just not as extreme as what we've seen over the past couple of days and nights.
Now, hey, Bob.
Go ahead.
When this all started, there was talk of Lake Michigan freezing over. Have you seen anything on that? Is it? Are we working on ice clear to Wisconsin?
Yeah, it has built up. I don't have the extent of that.
Okay.
I can't tell you that. I know you asked me that yesterday as well, and it's something that's not readily available by way of reports. Clearly, we have built up some ice with this most recent shot now of Arctic air. Whether or not the entire passage all the way over to Wisconsin is frozen, I don't have information into that. But clearly, we've got a lot more ice that is building up.
Now, Bob, the other thing that we've talked about over the last couple of days is the real field temperature and
right.
just how cold it really is. Is that something that's going to be not as much of a factor as we move towards the weekend and then into next week?
Exactly, Jeremy, because not only is it less cold, but it's going to be turning less windy. That's a pretty good combination. So it all leads to a much more gentle approach to the weather over the next few days. And after what we've been through, once we get to, for example, 29 or so Thursday, that's going to feel awfully balmy because 29 without wind, after what we've been through, yeah, not so bad at all.
Yeah, Roger's breaking out his sunscreen already.
Yeah.
Friday,
yeah.
I think.
But, and I mentioned average in there. We tend to forget. What is the average high right now? Average is actually 31. So even at 29 on Thursday, it might be a tad below average, but still far cry from where we have been.
By comparison, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Bob, thanks for giving us a call and letting us know what's coming up and what we can expect.
You're welcome.
Sounds like we at least have a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. Bob Larson joining us. And I tell you what, we are going to continue the discussion. I promised we were going to continue it on Secession, and we will. Here in just a little bit, John's on the line. We will talk to him as we continue the program. Program continues ahead. Jeremy Lawrence here with you along with Roger Taylor. It's WKZO and our little get-together here in the afternoon that we have yet to name. We're closer.
Are we?
We're closer.
Okay.
Yes.
Was that J.J. Cale?
Hmm?
That the song you just played, was that J.J. Cale? The bumper?
I don't know.
Oh.
I thought I don't know. Saw it said Eric Clapton.
I believe that was a Clapton
song.
Oh,
he ripped off J.J. Cale.
Oh, is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Another debate for another day. In the meantime, you know, John has been waiting ever so patiently, so apologies, John, for having you wait so long. I appreciate your patience.
No apologies needed. I'm inside, so.
You're
good
in the best
for you,
place.
John.
Yeah, no, about the UP, I spent a fair amount of time up there in my consulting job. First of all, I was not born in the UP, and that, by the way, is very important. There's trolls, that's us who were born below the bridge, and there's upers, that's who's above the bridge. But I think politically you might be surprised. The UP is largely Democratic. It's a strong union area, and they are very, very anti-corporation because of the extractive industries from the 1913 strike again, the Keweenaw Calumet on to the lumbering era, that they tend to vote and tend to be more Democratic. What they don't like, and it's not so much Detroit, it's Lansing. They don't like regulation. Don't tell me when I can shoot a deer. Don't tell me what I can do with my land, that type of thing. But in terms of social programs, there's a much stronger belief in social welfare programs than in corporate welfare programs. That's been my experience. I work with small businesses up there. So,
when did the thoughts of the state of Superior peak? Have you heard anything on that recently, or is this a few years back?
No, there's it's been off and on for the last 30 years, really, and it tends to be, if you look at the people who are behind the secessionists, it tends not to be a populist movement, but rather follow the money, look at the people behind it, cloaked in populism. If you ask the average Uper what they feel about it, there is not a strong affinity to Lansing by no means. There tends to be a stronger affinity to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of secession, there's not a strong, my experience has shown there has been a strong movement to that among the everyday Uper. But that's, they are much stronger aligned to Wisconsin, tend to be. Like football, you see one heck of a lot more Packer backers than you see Detroit Lion fans.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's true in the Lower Peninsula as well. But
yeah.
You know.
There's not a lot to root for with the Lions.
My point exactly.
Hello. Well, thanks, John. Appreciate your experience that you're sharing with us. Thanks.
Absolutely. And anybody who's ever been to the UP, you've never seen the greatest that Michigan has to offer. That's the UP, this weather we've had the last couple of days, that's normal.
Yeah.
And I love it.
That's why I'm not living there. When I retired the first time, I suggested to my wife we move to Marquette. Once she stopped laughing, she said, go ahead, you'll just need an efficiency apartment. And so we compromised and stayed here.
Calumet, by the way, has 174 inches of snow to date this winter so far.
173 inches so far.
So far, correct.
Wow.
That is a lot.
Yeah, that's an awful lot of shoveling.
Yeah, 14.4 feet.
They have a little different way of handling snow. They have what they call their snow goes. They plow into the middle of the road. Then they have a snow blower on massive steroids that can throw the snow about 200, 300 feet and goes right down the center of the road and throws it out. Instead of trying to plow to the side, you can do that for a little bit, but maybe through November. But then after that, they pull out the snow goes.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Okay, that wouldn't work in town. They'd end up throwing the snow at your window, but, you know, that'd be fun to watch.
Yeah.
No, they dump it into dump trucks in the towns. There'll be a line of trucks right behind them. They put the snow right in the trucks, and that way the parking spaces are open.
Makes a lot of sense. All right.
They know how to move snow.
Oh, yeah. If they didn't, they wouldn't move.
That's for sure.
This is correct.
John, thanks so much for calling us today. We appreciate it.
You bet.
Okay. See, we get a little bit of background there. Now, the interesting thing about, you know, he brought up different issues in talking about the UP, what they are. And it seems like there's sort of a right down the middle approach there, because some of that involved, you know, some Democratic ideas, but there were some conservative ideas there as well. One interesting thing I brought up was a county-by-county breakdown. This is just the 2012 election. Two counties in the UP went for Barack Obama. The rest went for Mitt Romney. I'd have to calculate out just what the individual votes looked like to see just how equal it is. I know one of those was Marquette County that went for Obama, but most of the rest of them for Mitt Romney. It would be interesting to see how it breaks down in terms of equality. But I think from the standpoint of looking red, they certainly do look red based on that.
But I think Marquette is the only big city in and it isn't that big a city. I don't know what the population of Marquette is. I'm guessing 40, 50,000. That's just a guess, but our producer is going to come up with this for us.
You hear him typing in the back.
Yeah. 21,532 as of 2012.
Okay. So I was overestimating the population.
So it's a smaller city there.
Yeah.
But, now, the interesting thing, if you look at these county-by-county maps, of course, if you look at the state of Michigan, you'd swear that Michigan was a red state. Just because it looks mostly red.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the counties that turn blue, well, all the ones around Detroit, Bay City, Saginaw, Flint, these are the blue areas that kind of tip the balance in that favor. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's why a number of Republicans have talked about using the congressional districts as a way to divide up electoral votes because they are suggesting that, for instance, we aren't represented adequately because there's so many votes in Detroit.
Well, you know, and I understand that kind of movement. I don't know that I necessarily agree with it, because I tend to think that when they wrote the Constitution, they came up with the Electoral College. I think they got it right on the money. It was a great way to balance it out so you didn't have presidential candidates visiting only cities. They were going to have to go to some of these smaller towns, which they do on regularity now. I think that's a great thing to do. And to me, you know what, you know, Republican or Democrat making that kind of an effort, I don't agree with it either way. I think you stick with the system that's worked for over 200 years.
You know, there's something you and I agree on.
It's a rare thing.
Yeah. Write this down on the calendar.
The founding fathers had some interesting ideas. And we ought not willy-nilly screw around with them.
You know, there are even things that I kind of, you know, and this is another debate for another time, but I kind of agree with the original constitutional idea of the election of senators. Because it came not from the people, but from the representatives of the people, which were in the state houses and senates and things like that. They were the ones that were electing senators to represent states. I tend to think that offered some balance, too. That's just my opinion.
That will be a topic for us to debate at some point.
We've got to write this stuff down. We really do.
I may not agree with you on that one, Jeremy.
You may not.
Just a surprise.
Could be. I don't know. But
I might disagree.
But you know, it's one of those things that we really can't debate right now. Why?
We're out of time.
Yeah. We got to go.
Time flies when you're having fun.
But you know what? We've got another hour. We still got that movie giveaway. So,
And
I've got questions ready.
All right. Dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia on the way as we continue.
That got a thumbs up.
The Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.